Good morning. Welcome to PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ, living out the Father God's love and transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we're all vertical. It's Reformation Sunday. What else has happened? There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a congregational meeting right after the service, brief but amazing. But if you're not a member and you don't want to stick around, we're going to vote. Nominating has some deacons, some new deacons and new elders to nominate before us, and we'll vote them in. And I'll start thanking the nominating committee right now, because I think God is bringing in some amazing folk, and I'm excited about our future here. It's also staff appreciation. We'll have a little bit of that in the service. We have memorial service this upcoming Saturday for Buzz Coslin. It's 11 a.m. in the sanctuary, and then there will be a reception following, a light reception following. And then next week, it's All Saints Day, so make sure, if you lost a loved one or if you know of some friends that have lost loved ones this year that were tangentially or members of this local outpost of God's kingdom, make sure you come back next Sunday. We praise God for our saints. And it's interesting because we're starting off a new sermon series on gratitude, and it's about standing on the shoulders of giants. But also after that, there's going to be a first Sunday of the month lunch, and it's a baked potato bar, and you can fill this out, RSVP, to know how many potatoes we get, and then put that in the offering plate or leave it on that thing in the back. Also, during the service, I kind of jumped the gun last week. I've been hearing from several congregants, what are we going to do about the disasters and the natural, the hurricanes hitting the East Coast? And so I said, we're going to take up a collection. And we're taking up a collection October 27th. But you guys are giving. And I praise God for that. I said, we need to help our brothers and sisters on the East Coast. And I was supposed to wait for session approval to say such a thing. But you said, no, let's give it to them right now. Bam. And so thank you for being so generous. But also, we're officially praying over that offering, which we started last week. And if you didn't put it in, you can put it in the offering plate this week. It goes to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. And I've worked with them several times. I worked them with a hurricane that hit Alabama. Yeah? New Orleans. I don't remember which one that was. No, I was at the one that, because I was living in Texas at the time, and so we drove with a bunch of college students over. I have some crazy miracle stories from that trip. But then also in Haiti, I worked with them in Haiti. It's an amazing organization. They work through the local churches, and the money goes directly to helping men and women right in the middle of their struggles. So it's a worthy organization, a worthy cause. Anything else in this pamphlet I need to talk about? Concert this afternoon. Thank you very much, Linda. There's a concert this afternoon, Concordia. It's Reformation Sunday. We didn't plan it, but at the Lutheran school, okay? Luther, Reformation, 95 Theses, okay. Let's stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord. And that, since there's viruses around, going fist bump, holy fist bump. Now that everybody's resting comfortably, I'm going to ask that you would stand. Since it is Reformation Sunday, I feel like I should say a little something about that. Martin Luther, a little over 500 years ago, Catholic priest, noticed as he was reading through Romans that the Roman Catholic Church had veered off course, and he came up with 95 theses, and he nailed them to the Wittenberg door, and these are 95 ways that the church had gotten off course. Notice it's called Reformation, not... He actually was very concerned about being a heretic. He wrote it several places, "I don't know if I can get into heaven and live for my Lord Jesus without my Father God and my Mother Church." So he wanted to simply change it from the inside out. Another little interesting fact about Martin Luther, he absolutely loved beer. And he went into his local German bar and took a bar tune and set these lyrics to it. So we're going to sing "A Mighty Fortress" after I call us to worship. Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Let's sing as one voice, "A Mighty Fortress."
Thank you. Martin Luther believed that confession should not be based on the sincerity of one's contrition or performing penance. He believed that forgiveness is based on the faith in Jesus' satisfaction. So let us go with humble hearts to the Lord who freely forgives. Can join me in the prayer of confession that's printed in your bulletin or is on our screen. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Do not cast us away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore us to the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit. Amen. It is because of his great compassion and loving kindness demonstrated through Jesus we are cleansed from our sins. So take heart, people of God, you are forgiven. Let us stand as we praise the Lord together.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? So just to let you know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And at PCC, the personnel team decided, in that case, we would make October also Staff Appreciation Month. And so we'd like to ask our staff to come forward. So I'd like first for Danny Fesenfeld, Micah Wright, and Philip Mansour to come up. And just a little information, right? All of you probably know Danny's our worship leader with the praise band. He has been with PCC for over 18 years now. Micah Wright is our pianist and accompanist, and he's been with us for over 6 years, you know, from all the choir stuff, and he's also going to be working with some special ensembles for us coming up. Philip Mansour, our sound technician, has been in that role for over 11 years. So I just wanted, because this is kind of our key, like, worship Sunday music kind of team. So I wanted to bring that up. And Danny has a friend here, too.
Do you want to? I have wives. I have a dog.
And the name of your dog?
This is Johnny.
Johnny, okay.
He's 13, so he's been through 13 of the 18.
Now, I'd also like to invite Nora Anderson up. Now, you know her in so many roles here at PCC, but she's been kind enough to also be our temporary office assistant for over 2 years now. So we're working on it. But we thank her as well for all of her gracious gifts as well. Is Sandy here? Can Sandy Corbett? Sorry. No. Okay. So two people that are not technically on staff, but who support the work of PCC through their talents are Sandy Corbett, our bookkeeper, as well as Richard Enriquez, who is our custodial maintenance person that we contract with. And then we have some volunteers that are basically like employees. I'm not going to say that because, you know, we don't want to get in trouble with the state for that. But, you know, they're very consistent. And is Sean here? Is he back there or no? He's not here today. Sean Mora. You know him from growing up in this church, but he also has been, you know, since he graduated from high school, I think, been up there in the sound technician booth helping out on Sundays.
It is so not like him to not be up there. I can't believe it's not there.
His dad had surgery this week.
Okay, I was wondering because Mark's truck wasn't out there either. Okay. And so we just want to, when you have the opportunity, please thank him as well. And Amy Sabala, assistant pastor who's been doing on a volunteer basis ever since she's been here, so for over a decade. But we also know that there have been volunteers all throughout our church who are members of our church, who've helped out in various roles on session, as a deacon, through the different ministries, the prayer groups, the Bible studies, et cetera. So thank you all so very much, and Malia cooking a lot, by the way, on Saturdays. But I also then also want to ask, I guess Amy just wants to sit there instead of coming up. Okay, sorry, I didn't say come up, but I pointed you out. Okay, sorry about that. But I also really want to invite our pastor, Jason Griffiths, up here, who has reached the 5-year milestone with us. He came to us in August in 2019, started his call here, right? And through many different trials and challenges, and really, he still has this excitement, you know, that's there. And I think our team really has had that and shown us that. You know, Danny, he gets, you know, he doesn't just do music. Once in a while, he stops and he gives us a lecture and sermon, a mini sermon. Micah is stepping in. He's done stuff like in the choir as well and stepped out, you know, not only with the piano, but also with vocals. And he's helping out with some special ensembles, right, coming up in December. So stay tuned, right? Philip has just been so dedicated and helping us to figure out what we need up there. So session is approved. New soundboard for you, right? So hopefully that'll help out with the sound and everything that is. But, you know, these... and Noren and Amy, like, our staff has really helped us keep going with the day-to-day and the things behind the scenes and help plan our services and our different ministries. And so just wanted to ask you to take a moment and thank them up here visually for them. And Patty, I want to turn over to you in case there's anything else you want to say.
I just want to reiterate that a church takes, it takes a village. It takes us all. Now, we are just honoring some of our full-time staff and our volunteers who are here practically every day, but you're important too, because we're all a part of this church. Thank you.
So if you still want to write any cards for them, there are some out there. But we also have some cake afterwards in Fellowship Hall. So please join us in thanking our staff in Fellowship Hall after service. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah. I have a loud voice. So I don't really need a microphone. Jason... encouraging in a lot of ways too, but just like life can be. I'll give you an idea. Yesterday, my brother-in-law, I was trying to finagle all these things into my schedule, and it's just been almost seemingly impossible. I feel like I'm running from, you know, dusk till dawn and beyond. And he was flying in for a conference, and I said, I have time to grab lunch with you, so get your rental car and meet me in Hollywood. And on his way, I went to start my car to meet him, and my car wouldn't start, right? So long story short, when he shows up, we cancel lunch and drive to the Jeep dealership, and thank goodness we did, because despite what they had told me on the phone, it was something else, and now my Jeep is in the shop for 5 days, and we don't know what's going on. So we then get in an Uber to go get a rental car. We get a rental car. I wake up this morning, and the engine light is on the rental car, right? So I race down here with a dog in a rental car, only to realize I left my reading glasses, and thank goodness someone left these on the church stage, and they've been here for years, apparently, and Jeff was kind enough to find them. So if they're yours, I'm going to leave them on the piano when we're done. But the point being is that there is a concept that is given to us in the scriptures, and I've mentioned this before, about being still and knowing. Knowing follows stillness, not belief, knowing. Did you have to believe that pew would hold you up today? No. And the reason you don't have to believe that is because you've sat in enough chairs that you have enough belief that pew would hold you up. So you don't have to be still to believe. But did you have to believe you could drive your car or sit in the pew this morning? No. Because you've done it enough times that you knew you could do it. And that gives you a little secret that knowingness is a higher concept spiritually than belief. And we talk a lot about belief within the church, but we don't talk about knowingness. I did a cross-reference of knowing, knowledge, and know in the Bible. And it's really interesting, and I'll leave you with this thought. Basically, Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4, but it could be 2, talks about being able to step into the mysteries and knowledge of God. And it's based upon what you currently know of God. So if you want to be able to walk more deeply within the prophetic or the healing gifts or the gifts that are already at your disposal, it actually says in that chapter that the spiritual gifts aren't something to be administered. They already reside within you. It says every spiritual blessing is already yours. And that chapter concludes with the very power that raised Christ from the dead already flows through your veins. If that already resides there, why have we not awakened to it? And I venture to challenge you, it's because we're not still enough. Be still and know.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Just blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught
Light of love is mercy. down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. All together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. King of all days, you're so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came, the earth you created, all full of sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down.
Here I am to say that you're my God.
You're all together.
All together love. All together worthy. All together.
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are God.
Stillness.
After all that gratitude, I'm ready to go home. Thank you very much for setting the stage and creating that space. This is the end of our series, Set Free. Kind of a subtitle of the series has been Out of Exile. Because you remember the people, the Jewish people, had been enslaved for many, many years. And then they were set free. And they sent Caleb and they sent Joshua along with a team to check out the promised land. And that team came back and Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's do it. We got a God that just parted the Red Sea. We got a God who's bigger than any obstacle." The rest of the team said, "Nope, there's giants in this land. We're the small crew. We're not going to win this battle." God says, "This whole generation that was born in slavery is going to pass away in exile. And a whole new generation born in exile is going to be led by Joshua into the promised land." Think about that for a second. For a whole generation, for an entire generation, living in tents, nowhere being your home, everywhere being your home, traveling, time to pack up everything you own again. God talks to Joshua and says, "Don't be afraid, you're going to be my leader, like Moses." We learned last week that as we are set free, God enjoys reclaiming and redeeming lost and broken people. As part of our set freeness, we get a new identity. The shady character of Rahab is now known as the great, 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 maybe five more greats, grandmother of Jesus the Christ. No longer known as a broken vessel, but a vessel in which God used to save you and I. We turn to chapter 3, and this morning we look at the miracles along the way. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen. Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the people will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for using me. Thank you for being amongst us and doing miracles all the time. I pray that you would speak through me and that my words wouldn't be my own but your words. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, early in the morning. What does that make you think of? Resurrection Sunday. That's what makes me think of. Early in the morning. Golden Gay, in his commentary in these next two chapters, says, looking back and looking forward. This text is about both. I've already told you that Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua. Yeshua, the rescuer. So we see in this moment foreshadowing of Jesus rescuing us, leading us across the river. It's also looking back, because just a couple moments ago in the story, early in the morning, they sent out the three spies. Then what's the next thing that pops up? When the Lord had pulled Joshua aside, what did he say? He said, don't turn to the right or to the left. Follow the words of the Lord. Follow the commands of God. What's in the ark? Anybody seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Right? The one thing I love about that movie is it captures in the words of the Jewish poet, Robert Alter, the mysterious aura of the ark. There's this power, you know, and it's got the word of God in it. And the words of the Lord through Moses are, follow after the word, for you've never been here before. Does everybody remember that Amy Grant song? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You remember that song? I do too. Pop quiz and you aced it. That's this verse. That's this passage. That's just another time in Scripture do you remember my first couple months here? Almost every sermon had in it, get back to your Bibles. Does anybody remember that? It rattled loose as I'm walking around this morning. It's once again, I'm calling you, we are people of the Word. We talk about the Bible. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. It lights our path. And the same, remember, God is talking a couple weeks ago when he's calling Joshua, he says, it's not about showing off. It's not having a big spectacle. It's about being faithful, a faithful student, a faithful disciple. But notice, he says, keep a distance. Why keep a distance from the ark? You ever read Chronicles of Narnia? Yes? Aslan, the Jesus character, is the lion, right? Somebody asks, I don't remember who, says, is Aslan safe? No, Aslan is not safe, but he's good. I looked it up. Well, actually, it's a long story. It's not a long story, but 3,000 cubits. You're supposed to be. That's 200 cubits. 3,000 feet is what my Bible study notes say is how far the ark has to be ahead of the people. That changes your picture of this text. I don't know if it does you, but it definitely does me. Because get back to this text, we have. Joshua, getting words from the Lord, and then Joshua passing these words off to the people of God. People of God stay 3,000 feet back. And so he's got 12 priests leading ahead, carrying the ark. Gets to the Jordan. Side note, what's going on with the Jordan? It's in flood season. Does anybody know what that means? Anybody lived near a river? Flood season. Water's everywhere. We have plans and we build houses. Rivers have different plans and wash away houses. It's flood season. The Jordan is this river that's kind of has some terrifyingness to it. It has speed, magnitude, a lot of water. These 12 priests, what are they to do? They're to walk into the river. I love what he says to the people. Joshua says, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. I can almost hear God whispering that this morning to you and I. Consecrate yourselves. Get back to the basics. Read your Bibles. Love one another. Pray for one another. Consecrate yourselves. I'm about to do something big. The psalmist sees this event right here, as one and the same as Moses parting the Red Sea. But as there's an entire generation, and in certain ways, this one is, I don't know, more my speed. More my miracle. I dig the way that God works in this place. He comes up to the Jordan, the priests, what do? They step into the river, but it's not the river anymore. It's heaped up. And the author says, where is it heaped up? It's heaped up to this place, Adama of the earth. I think it's a reference back to Genesis. I think it's a reference back to He's in control of everything. Notice it's repeated twice. He's Lord over what? Over all the earth. He's in control. He's not surprised. He's not afraid. He's big. He's beautiful. He's bold. And he cares about you and I, and he cares about Moses, and he cares about Joshua, and he cares about the people of God in this moment. And there's this water heaped up. I would love to just see a snapshot of that. What does water of the Jordan at flood stage look like piled up in a town? You know, I don't know. I would love, anyway, my ADD mind just went off for a little bit. I wish I was there and I had my phone. And I wish I could text my wife and say, look at this. This is crazy. Notice he says, I'm the same God as the same God as Moses, and I'm going to replicate this miracle, and you're going to be a leader just like Moses was. It stands up on dry ground. And then the passage ends. And notice the story. This is the capstone. This is the pinnacle. If you got a crescendo of what I've been preaching, if you've been in all the sermon series, there was fear at that first one. It ruined the day. And then you got Joshua being called to just be faithful. And then you got Rahab being redeemed, reclaimed, and it's all this story is all pointing, and ultimately it's pointing towards Jesus and the cross. But at this moment, there's these 12 men, and they're around the ark, and their parents were born into slavery. Their parents were owned, and their parents were owned, and their parents were owned. They were set free. And then their parents died in exile. Mom and dad had lived a life born into slavery and passed away wandering. And here these 12 men are. For some reason, God picked them. God picked them. And they haven't known a day that they didn't pack up everything they own. And they're about to walk into a place where they will be a home. They will have roots. Imagine being in their shoes, stopping in the middle of the Jordan River, where the water is supposed to be, knowing that their parents were set free, passed away in exile, born in exile, set free, about to walk into the promised land, standing on dry ground. Standing on dry ground. On the ground, the dry ground, the term in the Hebrew is harava. Say it with me, harava. Both in Genesis and in Exodus, they use a different term. They use yabasha. Say that with me, yabasha. When God separated the water from the earth, he made dry yabasha. When Moses parted the Red Sea, he walked across on yabasha. But now God is doing something new with a set free people, a foreshadowing of us, followers of Jesus, a set free people from sin, death, through the cross and resurrection, a set free people, we walk on a new dry ground. We walk into a freedom that no generation before us has experienced. We are set free, set free, set free, set free, set free, set free, set free. Think about all the generations from here till now, in this text till now. We are being set free, we are set free, and we're more set free. Applications. I take my first application from a comedian. And he says, I have an upset stomach. I have an upset stomach. I either am recovering from having an upset stomach, I have an upset stomach, or I'm about to have an upset stomach. We, as followers of Jesus, have experienced miracles. List them in your head. I imagine those 12 standing in the middle of the Jordan, were thinking about their parents walking across the Red Sea dry. Think about all the ways that God has rescued you, all the times that he saved you, even the times that you looked back. It'd be a good time to have my friend Lloyd come up and tell his miracle story. Miracles happen all the time. Even right now. Miracles have happened in the Jason Griffiths life. Miracles are happening currently right now. I'm standing where I said yes to my bride. Right? That's a miracle. I think that's God's sovereignty moving chess pieces around and having me right here. There's miracles ahead. And I think that's the primary application. What's on the horizon that looks like it's going to wipe you out? I'm speaking specifically if you have something on that horizon that looks like it's going to wipe you out. Don't leave this morning without telling somebody that. Because we are we. And it takes a church. It takes the people. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I thank you for all the miracles seen, unseen, recognized, not really recognized. I thank you for all the ways you've rescued us, little, small, big, all of them. Thank you for being a rescuing God. I lift up brothers and sisters that see things on the horizon that are causing fear. And I lift them up specifically this morning and ask that you would show up once again. Draw near once again. You've saved us before. Save us again. And all God's people said, let's stand and sing in response.
Thank you.
That's an old Baptist one, right? That's kind of fun. I'm going to pray and dedicate the offering that's going towards hurricane relief through Presbyterian Disaster System, but I'd love some help. I'd love 7 volunteers that would be okay reading a prayer that's everybody look in your bulletin, and there's a prayer in there by a woman named Lori Ann Krause. I would love 7 volunteers, kind of like the 12 priests that led ahead, but there's just 7. I just need 7 of you. Raise your hand if you'd be willing to, where you're seated, just read one of those paragraphs. Jane Carlisle, you'll be the first one. I'll open it, and then you'll read the "We Open Our Hearts." We got Doris, we got Patty. Doris, you'll be 2. Patty, you'll be 3. Anybody else? Linda will be 4. Amy, you'll be 5. Sandy Hughes, you'll be 6. And Gwen, you'll be 7. And then I'll close. Let's go to our God. God of our life, whose presence sustains us in every circumstance. In the aftermath of storm and distress, we welcome the restoring power of your love and compassion.
We open our hearts in sorrow, gratitude, and hope that those who have been spared nature's fury, as well as those lives, are changed forever by ravages of wind and water, may find solace, substance, and strength in the days of recovery and a reflection that come.
We are thankful for the generous grace of days of preparation, for the wise counsel of experts, and the generous collaboration of so many communities that in the face of the storm kept many out of harm's way and lessened the effects of wind and water on others.
We are grateful for the dire predictions. We are grateful that dire predictions did not result in the worst case scenario for all, yet still serve to support our best efforts in preparation and immediate relief.
At the same time, we open ourselves to the stories of those for whom the hurricane was not a mere miss, communities deeply affected, whose livelihood, homes, and stability has been destroyed.
We pray and grieve, remembering the lives that have been lost.
We lift our voices in sorrow and compassion for families that have lost loved ones, homes, or livelihood.
We ask for sustaining courage for those who are suffering, wisdom and diligence among agencies and individuals assessing damage and directing relief efforts, and for generosity to flow as powerfully as rivers and streams as we, your people, respond to the deep human needs beginning to emerge in the wake of the storm.
In these days of relief, assessment and response, open our hearts and our eyes and our hands to the needs of your children and the movements of your spirit, who flows in us like the river whose streams make glad the city of God and the hearts of all who dwell in it and in you. In name of Jesus the Christ, our healer, our rescuer, we pray, and all God's people said, this morning's offering and rescue relief offering are now received.
Thank you. Please be seated. Jason, I thank you that we are a church that prays regularly and prays fervently. So with that in mind, let's pray together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We're so thankful for this privilege and meeting together as your people to worship and honor you. We're encouraged and strengthened as we sing and pray together. We need to hear from you today, and we need to be drawn closer to you. We're all needy people, and we earnestly seek your will and your way. We want to live lives of holiness and purity, and that's why we're here today. For we need you, Lord, and we must feel your presence near us, not only here in church on Sunday, but out there in our everyday lives. Lord, how great you are. You are our refuge, strength, a very present help in times of trouble. You alone are our good shepherd. You lead us to green pastures, and beside still waters, you restore our anxious and weary souls. Even in the darkest valleys, we will not fear, for you are right here with us. You are always attentive to us. You provide for us. You guide us. Lord, we ask that you would grant to our medical researchers and healthcare workers protection from illness, and give them, in your grace, extra strength and resilience. We pray for our local, city, state, national government leaders, and our business leaders, that you would protect them from illness and grant to them the great wisdom and strength in the midst of so many demands and so much stress. God, as a congregation, we pray that you would protect and provide for us in the ever-changing and difficult days ahead. Help us to joyfully and sacrificially be the eyes, ears, hands, and feet of Jesus to each other and to our neighbors. We thank you for the new elders and deacons being elected today. Lift up the leaders of this congregation as they pray for God's guidance and wisdom to lead this church. Pray with thanks for the staff of PCC as they do God's work here. God, we pray for continued assistance to the very needy people, that they would not be forgotten in new crises that come daily. And we pray for peace in this world, that wars would cease and God's love would surround and support all people. Lift up those who deal with chronic illness. Give them courage and strength to face each day. And we pray for those continuing to receive treatments for cancer, praying for their doctors as they search for answers to bring stability and healing. And now we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Let's stand for our final hymn.
Oh,
Please be seated, and we'll receive the benediction in our seats. And as I make sure we get your SVP for next week, fill that out so we know how many potatoes to get. Also, if you're free this afternoon, come back here and enjoy a free concert by the Concordia Choir. And then after the benediction, there'll be a postlude, and all members, please stay, and even non-members, please stay and just see how the church works. And we're going to be nominating new deacons and elders. And then after that, there's cake in the fellowship hall. And don't make me eat all of it. So stick around. Our benediction this morning, I'm going to say a benediction from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let it be so. Amen.